show. Confetti.
Hello, thank you for joining me. I'm Debbie Queen, and you're listening to another episode of Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show. If you're into weddings, and I mean really into weddings, to the point where you think you might want to plan weddings for other people, for a living, whether it's part-time or full-time, then that's what this show is all about. To find more information, you can go to the website, confettitalkshow.com. There you'll find archived episodes and the ins and outs and the story behind how the show got started. Okay, well, you know, I hope you've had a good week so far. Mine hasn't been so bad. I'm not sure what time or day you're listening to this recording, but as I speak right now, New Jersey is the latest and greatest state in the United States to legalize same-sex marriage. So if you're a wedding planner based in New Jersey and you've had clients come or prospects approach you about marrying them or maybe doing commitment ceremonies because marriage wasn't legal for same-sex couples, that has now changed. So we need to do a show about same-sex marriages. I've yet to officiate or plan one, and I'd like to, but I'm just so worried that I'm going to say the wrong thing or offend someone. So knowledge is power, right? So when you knowing is half the battle. So that's on my to-do list. So thanks for joining me. If you're listening to today's show, then audio works for you. And I want to make sure that I let you know about a great tool that's out there. The service I'm referring to is Audible, which is an Amazon company. And what Audible has done, so darn clever, is that they have a library of audiobooks that are available. And they're not the first people to do this, but Amazon being the giant company that they are, is the parent company for Audible. So if you like to read like me, but have limited time to sit down and read like me, then Audible might be the option for you, because what Audible allows you to do is to have someone read to you. Are you channeling your childhood? So check out confettitalkshow.com/audible. And if you go through that link, what you'll do is you'll get an opportunity to check out the service at no cost to you, but you'll also get a chance to download an audiobook of your choice, any audiobook that you like, self-help, business, fiction, nonfiction. I am currently reading The Witness Wore Red, I believe is the name of the book. And that's all about the young lady who was part of the Mormon faith, but the fundamentalists, where, you know, where they believe in polygamy, and that's how she was raised and then moved away from that belief. So I caught her story on TV. I believe it was Dateline, maybe the Today Show, and then Dateline, or one of those shows, both of those shows in one of those orders. And the book had been released. And of course, I checked out Audible and it was there. So I've started to listen to that book. So, you know, I have a tendency to just stick to business books. I'm just always trying to improve and learn, but sometimes your mind needs to go in another direction, and it's a really great book so far. I'm not sure what chapter I'm up to, but less than maybe about a quarter of the way through. So at the stage of the, well, I'm not going to give the storyline away, but that's what I'm reading right now, The Witness Wore Red. And I can I tell you why? Well, I'll tell you why it's called that, right? Because, I'll tell you. It's sort of off topic, but I can't help myself. So apparently when she was growing up, this woman, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. Well, she was, women were forbidden to wear red. That was decided that that was not appropriate. It was sort of like for harlots, for lack of a better term. So apparently when things changed later on in life and she had to appear in court, she purposefully, is that the word? Intentionally, that's better, right? Wore red to court. So that's all I'm going to say, because if I go any further, it'll be a complete spoiler. So that's what I'm reading on Audible. But there are tons of other books, and Audible continually adding books to the library. So check out confettitalkshow.com/audible. confettitalkshow.com/audible. AUD like Debbie, IB like Bravo, L like Lima, E like Edward, Audible, because clearly I think that you're a terrible speller that I had to do that. Okay, so confettitalkshow.com/audible. Sign up for the free trial. You'll get one free credit, which is equivalent to a book. So keep the book no matter what you decide to do after the trial period's over. Okay, so you may have noticed today I'm not saying hello to those on the chat in the chat room and hello to those of you listening on the phone because I'm not recording today's show with a live audience. It's just me in my microphone talking to myself, which is nothing new for me. So moving forward, I'm not quite sure how Confetti will continue and with regard to the live show. My schedule is just changing rapidly and I don't like to keep flipping back and forth. So of course, with a live recording, there needs to be consistency and I need to give you a time that you can join me. And that keeps changing. That keeps fluctuating. I was dying to use that. That's the vocab word for the week. My schedule keeps fluctuating. So for right now, I'm recording the shows offline. Same great content, sans live audience. So I keep, you know, stay with me, meaning, you know, please, if you're on the Confetti Talk Show email list, continue, please. And I'll keep you posted. And I mentioned in our last, well, the last broadcast I didn't upload because it wasn't really an episode in my mind. It was really me just trying to give you some information about what's going on. And the main thing I was sharing is that Confetti Talk Show has gone back to weddingsforaliving.com. So let me back up. Weddingsforaliving.com is a website that I created that provides you with tips and suggestions and bits and pieces of advice about being a really great wedding planner. Confetti Talk Show evolved from Weddings for a Living, and it started off as being a live show that that was still part of Weddings for a Living. But as the show grew, I sort of moved everything to its own website, confettiradio.com, which evolved into confettitalkshow.com. But basically, managing two separate websites because all of the archived episodes would be on confettitalkshow.com was getting just to be, it's just too cumbersome. And what was happening, I was just neglecting Weddings for a Living. There was very little new content. So what I did is that I moved everything back over to weddingsforaliving.com. So even though Confetti Talk Show is the URL that I've provided to you from, you know, plus years, every URL that I've provided, knock on wood, will still be active and will still take you to the right place. So when you hear me say, you know, go to confettitalkshow.com/312, you can still do that, but you'll notice that it's redirecting you to a page or a post on the weddingsforaliving.com site. So no worries there. And I will continue to announce the shows as confettitalkshow.com/a number. Okay. So just wanted to let you know that if you've sort of poked around and noticed that the site's looking different, that's what's going on. So for today's show, I want to focus on two questions that I received, and thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it, all the comments and questions that come in. Please understand, though, that I don't always get a chance to respond as quickly as you may want me to. Quite often, I'll get an email saying, can you reply to me by tomorrow or by Saturday? I have an event, and as much as I'd like to, I don't have that capability right now. But it doesn't mean that I'm ignoring you. And as I mentioned on the websites with regard to questions, a lot of times I will share my response either on the Confetti episode or I'll create an article. Because my guess is that if you have that question, several other people have the same question too. So please, please understand that I cannot always respond to you personally. I don't have that capability right about now. So one of the questions that came in is from Vanessa, and I'll read you her question. Hi, Debbie. I recently had an issue. You notice that I do that. It's the English mixed up with the Yankee, as my sisters say. I recently had an issue with a bride and groom that booked their wedding venue, made a deposit, and made a decision on the reception venue. Without discussing it with me, they decided to go another route for both venues. They threatened the wedding site with a lawsuit for not returning their deposit, even though the contract clearly stated that there were no refunds. They wouldn't make a decision or made decisions and then constantly changed them. I finally had to decline as their coordinator, stating I didn't think I could help them any longer and couldn't put my vendors in the position of last-minute changes, contract disputes, etc. How would you have handled this? Vanessa. Vanessa, thank you so much for your question. It's a great one, and what a dilemma. Vanessa, right off the bat, I would have handled it the way that you did. Cut the cord, cut the strings. Okay, I'm out of here. So, you know, the funny thing is when you're, you know, not so funny thing, when you're doing what we do, planning weddings, helping others, it's a very emotional thing, number one, because a lot of times people have, you know, well, not even, forget emotion. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of different personalities, personalities from your clients, personalities from vendors. That's a lot for you to be able to balance, and also with, you know, with much grace. So the first thing I want to say is when you're meeting someone as a prospect, you know, what the prospect meaning they haven't signed on as your clients yet. They're kind of kicking the tires and seeing if you are the one, if you are the planner. You have to follow your gut. And we as human beings normally pick up on it right away. If you've ever been in a situation or met someone and without even knowing much about them, either you're turned off slightly or turned on. And I don't mean necessarily in a sexual way, although it could well be. But that's what I mean by your gut instinct. And I've done this many times. I've encountered this many times as a wedding planner and ignored it many times. And each time I ignore that gut feeling, I almost always regret it. So what I mean by that is when you're sitting down with prospects and you're sensing that they're very indecisive, or one prospect, maybe the groom, if it's bride and groom, the groom is overbearing, or the other way around, the bride is overbearing, or maybe there's a parent involved and that person, and there's just a conflict. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to how your prospects address you and how they communicate with you. Is it very clear? Do you have to ask a lot of questions to get the answer to one basic question? Pay attention to that. And if you're getting that uneasy feeling, you've got to, in your mind, just go in the other direction. I mean, physically, you're going to have to go in the other direction anyway, but pay attention to that, because a lot of times what we do, especially when we're new at this, we're so excited and so happy to have potential clients that we go against that feeling just so that we can have paying business. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. So, Vanessa, I don't know if you got that sense, but it sounds like, you know, the style of this couple, you said that they, you know, they lawsuits, changing their minds and not speaking to you. Not cool, not cool at all. So, you know, it may have been cloak and dagger or bait and switch where you didn't even notice this in the consultation. Hopefully you had one. But if you sent something like that again, Vanessa, pay attention to it, because usually the signs are there. Usually they're there. And sometimes we don't even know why we're feeling the way we're feeling. It's sort of like when you get in an elevator and someone steps in and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up for a second and it doesn't feel right. But you continue anyway. You stand in that elevator because you don't want to appear rude, or if that person doesn't look like you, you don't want to offend them in any way. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pay attention to that gut feeling. But let's say that there was no indication that this couple was going to act up the way that they're acting up. What I do, hopefully there's a contract. You must have a contract, right? Any clients that you're doing business with, no business on a handshake, no verbal agreements. Even if your clients have friends and family members doing stuff for them, there needs to be something in writing. It's just so that both parties are on the same page, literally. You both have to understand what you're getting and what the compensation is, if there's compensation, right? That has to be on paper and needs to be executed. By that, I mean, it needs to be signed. Okay. It doesn't matter if it's on paper and both parties haven't signed it. Once it's signed and it's agreed that this is what I'm doing, this is what you're doing, I then go one step further and I provide my clients with a policies and procedures form. And what this does is it's there to simply set the tone of our working relationship. It's, and I've said it before, it's like me saying, this is how I roll. This is how I do business, because it's usually about the client. It is about the clients, but this one piece of paper is about me. It's about me, Debbie. It says my office hours. It says the best way to reach me. And then it goes on to say, listen, you know, if something isn't right, I need you to tell me. And if something isn't right, I'm going to tell you too. My policies and procedure statement also says that everything we discuss is confidential. I'm not sharing what's going on here with anyone unless it's on a need-to-know basis, meaning another vendor. So if my clients are paying me $4,000, their family members don't know that unless they've told them that. If my clients, if we're doing business and my services are gratis, meaning I'm not charging them, not going to happen. But let's just say I wasn't charging them, again, not going to happen. Then I'm not sharing that with anyone. That's for them. If they want to tell people they're paying me $10,000, that's fine. It doesn't hurt me any. But, you know, that again, that's me setting the tone and letting them know. But what I also include is to let them know that they are the final decision makers. I'm there as a professional, and I'm going to give them the best advice that I can. I'm going to make the best suggestions that I can. But ultimately, they get to decide. They have to decide. And that's actually in my contract, too. But there also needs to be a clause that says, basically, hey, listen, if I don't hear from you, I need to communicate with you. I've got to hear from you. If I don't hear from you, then that's grounds for us to go separate ways. And Vanessa, that sounds like that's what's going on in this situation. I don't know what that's about. And it happens more often than not. You know, either you get clients who are really gung-ho or you get clients that just don't want to do anything. And listen, not everybody enjoys wedding planning like you do. I know. What kind of breed is that, right? But there are people that just don't want to be bothered with the wedding planning process. So when you're asking them to make a decision, that's such a tough thing for them to do. It's for them. It's like, you know, dragging fingernails on the chalkboard. They don't want to do it. So you may have to, there may need to be some prodding, but you need a response. And if you're getting clients that aren't responding, and I refer to them as passive aggressive, that's their way of, not always, but sometimes it is, oftentimes it's passive aggressiveness, then you need to cover yourself by saying either in your contract or in your policies and procedures form, paperwork that, hey, I don't hear from you, then this relationship ends, this working relationship ends. So think about a policies and procedures form, Vanessa, and what it's not legally binding like a contract is, but mine is boilerplate. If you're part of the Wedding Business Guide, that form is in the download library. The Wedding Business Guide is a comprehensive resource that I created online for anyone who wants to get started with their own wedding day management company. But the policy and procedures form is in there. But have your client include that form in your client's welcome packet. Ensure that they read it. But when you're sitting with them at that very first meeting, once they have signed the contract, this is not before they sign the contract, because before this contract signed, they're not your clients. But once they have signed the contract, go over this with them. Mine is short. It's just a page and a half. And make sure that they understand and just sort of read through it. And then have them initial it and or sign it. Again, it's not a legal document, legally binding. But what it does is it forces them to understand and read and comprehend what's going on. And I like to have them go over this in my presence. Okay. So a policies and procedures form will help, but maybe if you don't have that, Vanessa, then you need to include a clause in your contract, the contract that you have with your clients, you wedding planner and the clients, that stipulates, ooh, sound really intelligent there. Until I said that, I sounded really intelligent, right? But that says, you know, if I don't hear from you, and you can say, if I don't hear no response within X amount of days, I don't know how many days you want to set that up for. But you can just say, I need, you know, inaction or no response is basically grounds for us to terminate this contract. So don't be afraid to set that tone and to set those parameters. So, Vanessa, I'm so sorry to hear that happened, but, you said you had to decline as their coordinator. So that, yeah, basically. And when you part ways, you know, even no matter how bitter you are, wedding planner, right? Always make it like, sort of like, it's not you, it's me. Even if they are behaving badly. You know, I'm sorry this isn't working out. I really wanted to help you with your big day, but I think I'm not the wedding planner for you. That's how I say that. And save face, whatever they want to do is fine. As opposed to saying, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do. I mean, that's part of it. Of course, you're going to say that. But when you're parting ways, you don't just simply want to say you. And I simply say, I don't think I'm the planner for you. I really want to help you. I wanted to help you, but this isn't working out. And this is a big wedding. It's a big deal. So I think it's best that, you know, someone else try to step in. And, you know, if you know of another planner that you might want to burden, I was going to say burden another planner with these clients, then feel free. But just do it graciously and you know, don't burn bridges. Don't be angry. Save that venting for like a letter to me or, you know, with someone else. But don't do that with your clients. You just look bad. You come out on top when you sort of kill them with kindness, even down to the bitter end. And it's a level of professionalism that speaks volumes about who you are. Okay. So Vanessa, I hope that helps. Bottom line is, I would have done what you would have done, but preparation is key for a lot of what goes on in our lives as wedding planners. So that policy and procedures form will help. It's a good deterrent, sort of like, listen, no bad behavior. This is how it's going to go. Sort of like, you know, mom talking to the kids. And then, of course, you should put the clause in your wedding planner contract. Okie dokie. All right. I want to share one other resource with you, and that is if you're looking for a great way to manage your incoming calls for your wedding business, I want you to go to tryfreedomvoice.com. Tryfreedomvoice.com. That's a great service. I've used it for 10 plus years, and it will provide you with a virtual telephone service. It's like having a virtual office manager. You can have either a toll-free number or a local number. And this way, you can provide one number for your business, but the calls are still managed coming in through your cell phone or landline phone or both. If you have a staff, more than you know, additional people working with you, they can each have their extension as part of your business number. This is a great, great service. So you don't have to be concerned about giving out your cell phone to clients. A lot of wedding planners don't give out their personal cell phone number to their clients until it's the last week or so of their wedding. And that's a good practice if you are concerned about people calling you at all hours. But with Freedom Voice, again, tryfreedomvoice.com, you can have do not disturb, so the phone doesn't ring at after hours, whatever those hours are for you, and they can get a different greeting than when they call during the day. Hold music. And it's a very professional start to your business. It's very affordable, less than $10 a month. You're getting a set amount of minutes. Remember how maybe some mobile services, cell phone services, still that way, where you get a set amount of minutes. But unless you're extremely, extremely busy with phone calls, and if you are, you can upgrade to the next level, but you can get started for $9.95 a month in the US right now. But even better, you can try the service out free at no cost. So go to tryfreedomvoice.com. Pick out your phone number and get started. Try the service for 30 days to see how it is. Check out all the features. There's even a way to set up an RSVP service if you want to provide that as an option to clients so that you can manage all of the wedding RSVPs. What they would do is put your telephone number and an extension that you've created for your couple on their wedding invitations or on their wedding website, and they will call you and leave messages, and then you can relay to your clients and manage the guest list that way. That's one way of doing, utilizing Freedom Voice. And that way you can, you know, just make the money back that you spend each month. Plus, you know, you can charge per RSVP or around, you know, a flat number. So check out tryfreedomvoice.com. And there are lots of other services that provide a similar, there are lots of other products that provide a similar service, excuse me. But I've used Freedom Voice for many years, and they actually have live customer service folks that will help you. So if you have a question, you can call and speak to someone. I challenge you to find that with Google Voice. It just doesn't exist. Okay. All right. So let's go on to our second question. And this came in the form of a comment on the Weddings for a Living site. It was actually it was related to episode number 350 of Confetti, which was answers to your wedding planning business questions. And it came from Rhonda. Rhonda's question is, I am an aspiring wedding planner. I want to pursue a business in it. Where do I begin to get clients? And what are some things I need to get started? How do I get decorations for the wedding, etc.? Okay, Rhonda, that's a common question. But what you really want to do is to find out which area, what kind of wedding planner do you want to be? Do you want to provide full service, meaning you do everything from soup to nuts? Where did that term originate from? I've got to find that out. Or from A to Z, or back home we would say A to Z. Or do you want to be involved in the design? I see you mentioned decorations. Or are you happy doing the day of, where you just sort of come in at the end and manage the wedding day? Do you want to do Are you interested in consultations where people will just come and pick your brain for advice, but you're not actually there at the wedding? My guess is you probably want to be at the wedding. For the most part, that seems to be the vision for most aspiring wedding planners. So you have to decide that. If you go on weddingsforaliving.com, you'll see some information there about what type of wedding planning services you can provide. And then from there, what I urge you to do, Rhonda, is to figure out, is there an area of weddings that appeals to you? Because what I'm directing you to do, what I'm suggesting that you do, urging you to do, is to come up, is to find a little corner of the wedding industry that's yours. Wedding planning is one corner of the wedding industry, but I want you to dig a little deeper and see if there's a specialty. Is there some type of wedding that you enjoy more than others? You know, do you prefer the high-end luxury weddings, or are you sort of more of a crafty wedding planner where you have, you know, you have a knack of making something out of nothing? Or is it strictly designed? You just want to do the look of the wedding? Because I know that this industry is so, it's glamorized, and it's not a glamorous industry. I've been a wedding planner for several years. It's not glamorous by any means. But if you're passionate about weddings, that shouldn't deter you. But it's so much more than fluffing the bride's gown before she goes down the aisle and coming up with a great design for the wedding reception and, you know, having a chic outfit and sitting down and talking to clients at the coffee shop. It's so much more than that. Let me tell you something. Planning weddings is about lists and logistics. If you want to go there, that's really what it is. But there's a lot of fun stuff built around that. But don't be fooled for a second and think that it's just, you know, waltzing around from place to place and just coming up with a vision. Now, if you want to design weddings, then that's probably more up your alley. But to be a planner in the traditional sense where you're planning someone's big day, it's a lot of lists and tasks. Because in essence, what you're doing is you're doing all the things that the couple doesn't want to do or doesn't have the time to do. So you have to pick, it's all a grunt work, and they get the glory of picking out cake flavors and deciding on the menus. Yeah, you're integral and you're going to help them with that. But please, please don't be fooled into believing that being a wedding planner is all glamour and being cool and walking around with a clipboard and pointing out here and there. There's so much more. And to add on top of that, Rhonda's saying that she wants to pursue a business. Now, let's be real. Running a business is very different than being someone's employee or being a consultant for someone else. You are doing everything. You've got to make sure that you're making enough money. You got to take care of marketing. Marketing is a huge part of what we do, because if you don't have clients, then you're just doing, you're planning weddings as a hobby. You got to make sure that your taxes are straight. You've got to make sure that you monitor your expenses. And I'm not saying all this to deter, or maybe I am kind of, sort of, because I want you to get the real story of what being a wedding planner is. Now, there are different terms: wedding planner, bridal consultant, as I mentioned, wedding designer, day of coordinator. There are different titles, but usually when someone's asking that question, it's because they want to do the whole shebang. And if you speak to someone like me, I'm telling you, there's so much more to it. But if you enjoy the industry, then all the tasks and the lists will be, there'll be an element of pleasure in that for you. But I want you to understand the real, real deal, what being a wedding planner is all about. And thankfully, weddings have become front and center. So a lot of people don't have as much time. People understand the need to have someone help them in this field. So whereas before, wedding planners were sort of for the rich and the famous and celebrities and so forth, that's changing. But the key to really getting started, Rhonda, and sorry for going off, well, I don't think I was going off on a tangent, but I wanted you to get the full story, is find out what area of the wedding planning arena you want to be a part of. Is it the whole thing, a little part of it, or consulting? And then you've got to keep it real. Are you working full time? Because most people that come in as wedding planners are doing something else full time. Most weddings happen on the weekend. So that means weekends are gone. And that may not sound like a big deal right now, but when it's nice outside and you've got to, you cannot go to the beach with the family, or you cannot spend as much time with your visiting family members or friends or hang out someplace because you've got a wedding or you've got a meeting with a client, you have to be ready for that. So if you're working full time, you got to figure out, what can I honestly do? And I'm always amazed at folks who are working full time and then say they want to plan weddings full time, meaning they want to do full service planning from beginning to end. That's the best part. That's the best way to plan a wedding, because you are involved right from the beginning and there's more control, in a good way, of course, as to what, you know, the final outcome is, as opposed to coming in at the very end, which is what a day of coordinator does, and picking up where your clients left off. That's tough to do, but it can be done. So keep that real. If you're working full time, it's going to be difficult to manage full service wedding planning. Now, let's say you aren't working full time and the world is your oyster, as they say, and you want to get started. Well, you're going to have to take some time to build things up. It's going to be unlikely that you're going to have clients beating down your door. So you're going to need to have other income coming in. And now you can sell wedding invitations. You can sell accessories. You can do other things to sort of generate income. But I know for a fact, as a wedding planner, it takes a few years, because the vendors, meaning the cake makers, the limo company, the florists, have to get to know you. They've got to see you in action so that they can recommend you to others. It takes time to build up a reputation. So what I always suggest, or what I've been suggesting over the last year now, Rhonda, is to get going. It's become so easy now. You can create a blog, and that's my go-to resource. Anything that I'm thinking about doing as a venture, I try to start creating a blog. A blog is easy. For the most part, it's free to do, and it's a great way to see how consistent and if it's really something that I want to stick with. Because if you're writing a blog, a wedding blog, that's what I'm talking about, by the way, I'm sorry. So a blog that's all about weddings, either in your area or your specialty, if you've come up with the area that you want to focus on. If you're happy and you look forward to creating content, writing articles, maybe shooting a video here and there, although the technical aspect might be a bit of a challenge, but the whole thought of it is not a turn off for you, then you're on the right path. But if after 90 days, 6 months, 8 months, you're just not feeling it, then that's good, because you want to find that out now, as opposed to building websites, printing business cards, which I see so many planners doing, and then they have to backpedal. Also, you're going to need to have, as starting any business, there's going to be some financial investment. So do you have the funds to do that? Primarily right now, everybody seems to be online. If you don't have a website, it's like you're non-existent. So putting up a website, thankfully, is nowhere near as expensive as it used to be. So you want to do that, but it needs to look appealing. If you're setting up your business website, I'm not talking about your blog, but it needs to look appealing to someone who doesn't know much about you so that they want to find out more. If you've ever been to a website and you're kind of like, oh, you know, this doesn't looks amateurish, then that's the same reaction that your potential clients are going to have, and you're going to struggle. So maybe you need to hire someone to build the website. That's an investment. You're going to need to, if you're doing design, you're going to need to buy elements for decor. But thankfully, the barrier is pretty low when it comes to cost for us wedding planners. You can actually get started for a very small amount of money. But that's also the reason why a lot of wedding planners don't stick around. I've been doing confetti since 2010, and some of the people that I've featured on the show are no longer in the wedding planning business. That's fine. I'm not knocking that. But I just want you to be aware of how real that is. The turnover is pretty high, because if you're not spending a whole lot of money to get in, it's easier to get out, as opposed to maybe a videographer that's invested a lot of money in their cameras and equipment. They'll think twice before they sort of back out, and probably think twice before they get going. So, Rhonda, I hope I haven't completely thrown you off, and it's not my intention to do that, but I do just want to be straightforward and honest about what's involved about being a wedding planner. I should have, let me see, hold on, let me lean over here. No, I can't. Where's my notebook? I should have planned better. 1 second. On my squeaky chair. All right, I don't have it. I wanted to tell you which episodes that you can listen to on Confetti, but just go on to confettitalkshow.com, or maybe I can pull it up right here. Because if we were live, this is what I would do. So even though I'm offline, I still I still do the recording in one take. which is probably not the best way to do that, but anywho, I'm just checking the website now. Oh, Weddings for a Living. So, Rhonda, these are the episodes, the confetti episodes to check out. Episode number 210, confettitalkshow.com/210, 10 things you should do before launching your wedding planning business. And then also, if you go on Weddings for a Living, and I don't even want to give you the URL because I'm going to move some things around. But right now, as of right now, there's a link that says the basics. And it talks about what does a wedding planner do and things like that, top wedding planner skills. And based on your comments, I can see you've probably already perused some of those articles. But just do some digging around, listen to an episode or two, and see to get an idea of how to get started. But the key thing is you want to take a moment to plan. And I mean, I don't want you to do this forever, but take a moment to plan out the course, where you're going, so that you can come up with something that makes sense for you. You know, think about your time constraints. Think about your financial situation. Think about what you really enjoy doing. Do you like the whimsical weddings or do you like the glamorous traditional weddings? Is there a certain area that you want to focus on? It makes sense to focus in your hometown, but maybe not. Maybe you want to do destination weddings, but it has to be more than dealing with clients in a certain radius. You can't say you just want to plan weddings for anyone getting married in a 20-mile radius. You've got to drill down more than that, because in the sea of wedding planners, you need to do something that's going to make you stand out. Otherwise, you will just be one other wedding planner, and you've got to do something a little differently. So maybe you focus on weddings that are planned in 6 months or less, or weddings that are for couples who want a theme wedding, or weddings for couples who want a wedding any place, maybe weddings in their home, or weddings for same-sex couples. That you want to do something that's going to help you stand out, because that's going to help with marketing and that's going to help you get more clients, okay? But, you know, it's hard for me to give you all of the information in one episode, but I did want to sort of give you some starting points there, and I hope that was somewhat helpful for you, okay? So, if you want to get more information, and of course you do, check out weddingsforaliving.com. And that's, remember, that's where all the confetti episodes are now. And this episode is actually going to be, or actually is, confettitalkshow.com/361. confettitalkshow.com/361. So if you want to share the link with someone or you need to listen to it again, that's the shortcut for you. Okay? All right. Well, I think that's about it. For more tips, ideas, and suggestions about running a successful wedding planning business, again, weddingsforaliving.com. But I also want to invite you to check out weddingbusinessguide.com. That's a little more comprehensive. There is a fee involved. But if you're serious about getting your part-time wedding planning business started, I think you'll find it helpful. As always, I want to wish you love and success. I'm Debbie Quain, and you've just finished listening to another episode of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Take care. Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show.